Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, Giants fans. Welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. And today we're going to be talking a lot about Jason Garrett, about the New York Giants coaching staff, about a lot of the changes going on in the NFC East. And here to help me break all of that down is someone who is very, very familiar with the work of Jason Garrett. That would be RJ Ochoa of SB Nation's Dallas Cowboys website, Blogging the Boys. RJ, thanks for coming on.
Of course, anytime. Congratulations on having Jason Garrett.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite sure you mean that, but we will get into that. You know, as we record this, it's Sunday morning, and you and I were kind of kidding each other off air. We're sort of two lonely bachelors for the weekend. Our wives are both away, and we're sort of filling time here by talking to each other.
Yeah, I got to be honest. If you know, when my wife planned, she had a retreat this weekend, and when she told me, I said, you know, if I can get to talk to Ed, it will be a good weekend. That's the goal. So I sit here having achieved that, and there's really nothing else left for me to do.
Hey, there you go. My wife is off. My wife is off visiting my granddaughter and my son. They live about 4.5-5 hours away from us, and I'm here because I get to dog sit.
Good for you. See, I've got the dog too, so we're literally in the same boat. I think he might be chewing on the carpet at this particular moment. So yeah. If I have to order a new one on Amazon, it's because of this. But you know, we needed a new one.
A new dog? You're ordering a new dog on Amazon?
You know that they have the free 2-day shipping, so we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, well, my dog is not my friend right now, because my dog woke me up at 3:45 in the morning the other day. So he and I are not on good terms right now.
Goodness, that is that's a rough life.
Yeah, but anyway, RJ, let's talk Giants. Let's talk Jason Garrett. I really don't think that this was any big surprise in the end that the Giants hired Jason Garrett. Just, you know, your initial thoughts. First of all, I suppose we should back up. Your initial thoughts on Jason Garrett, A, no longer being head coach of your Dallas Cowboys, and then B, on being the offensive coordinator for the Giants.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate through my career, and you know, I know you've had a lot of similar opportunities. I've been fortunate to be around Jason Garrett, you know, at different times, and I think it's important to note. I think I would be doing him a disservice if I didn't note at the top that he is an upstanding person, and I know that there are people who roll their eyes at that, and they only care about football and on the field and whatnot. But the guy you see, and you know, everybody sees the clapping thing, and it's so old and tired. And everybody sees the same answers and this robotic, you know, persona that he displays to the world. But, you know, behind all of that, he really is an incredibly charming and charismatic person. And when you experience that, you know, you are kind of, you know, you kind of, you know, pinch yourself. You say, is this real? Is this the same guy? And so there's a lot to like about him. And, you know, I know we've spoken before here on your show. If I had to sort of characterize Jason Garrett's redeeming quality and his quality that sort of transpired across his entire tenure, it's that his players truly loved him. And I know that also sounds cliche and it sounds lame and nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, we've spoken at times, you know, the Cowboys up until this last season, they never lost the game where, you know, everything was going bad, you know, everything went wrong and, you know, they lost a really bad game or this or that, you know, this, you know, drama, whatever happened off the field, they never responded to that by totally quitting. they always, you know, fought back and won. And I think a recent example, everybody knows last season they lost there at MetLife to the Jets. And that was a long week. That was their third loss in a row after they had started off 3-0. And they came back and they beat the crap out of the Eagles, you know, the following Sunday. And that's kind of who Jason Garrett's Cowboys were. You know, when they got knocked down for a second, you know, you mentioned we're talking Sunday morning, the morning after after the fight. You know, they weren't that Cowboy, you know what I mean, that just got knocked down and left down. They always got up and always, you know, he loved to talk about scratching and clawing and fighting and whatnot. And they always did that. And I think ultimately that just kind of exhausted itself. I think we saw that finally end, you know, when they lost to the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving. You know, that was one of those lows. And okay, you know, they're gonna bounce back. That's who Garrett's Cowboys are. They went out 7 days later and they lost on the road to the Bears. And you know, they really for the first time in a decade had quit. And I think it was just, you know, it was just time for a change. I think we've all experienced that. There isn't a soul among the Cowboys who would speak ill of him. And I think, you know, this is a weird way to talk about an ending in the sports, but he really did give it his all. He really tried very hard and it just, you know, it wasn't enough. And you mentioned that it was a little predictable that he would end up back with the Giants. I you know, I'm shocked it took this long, but you know, Jason Garrett, as much as he is a Cowboy, he is a Giant. He has spoken at many times about how playing for the Giants and that organization really shaped him. He has spoken about having played there during September 11th and how living in New York at that time was very impactful on his life, as I'm sure is the case for many New Yorkers and many listeners of your podcast. And so, you know, he's a very sentimental person, I think, is something else. And so the Giants hold a very special place in his heart. So it made sense for him to return at some point. And so as weird as it sounds, I mean, I think a lot of Cowboys fans are truly happy for him. I think that, you know, he deserves, like everyone does, you know, to find happiness and peace and joy. And the Giants, if it can't be the Cowboys, I think are a team that can ultimately help him get there.
Interesting, RJ. We're talking peace and happiness and joy here on the Valentine's Views podcast.
Sometimes that's what's necessary.
There you go. So, you know, I have looked at the hire of the offensive coordinator, at the hire of Jason Garrett, and everybody wants to know, well, what kind of play caller is he and this and that, and what kind of offensive system does he run? And I wrote at Big Blue View on Sunday morning that for me, the kind of offense he runs and the play calling and all of that is really just a small part of the job that I think the Giants are bringing him to New York to do. The Giants hired a 38-year-old first-time NFL head coach, first-time head coach anywhere. And for me, I look at it like I think it's a lot of the other things that Jason Garrett brings to the table as to why he could really be a benefit to this Giants staff.
No, I think that's extremely well said and extremely well put. You know, Jason Garrett, I'm sure as you'll quickly learn, believes in finding the right kind of guys. That's, you know, that's his MO. And people have said forever, Cowboys fans have said that he would make an incredible CEO of any business. I mean, and I truly believe that. He is an inordinate leader of men. And, you know, I do think that's rare. I think that there's a lot of those in sports and in the game of football, certainly, but Jason Garrett is very, very good at that. And I think that's why, you know, people don't quit on him. And so I think that sort of pairing makes sense. And I think, you know, I think it takes a really humble person to do what Jason Garrett's doing, because I was thinking, how often do you see somebody who's been a head coach for almost a decade, you know, resort to being a coordinator? I hate to call that a resort, but the last one I was thinking about was Gary Kubiak. And it is very rare. And so I think that certainly makes sense. And I know that, you know, and I say this in all seriousness and no jive here, I know that the Giants organization has experienced some struggles in the culture department in recent memory. And if there's any coach out there that was available that can fix that, I absolutely unequivocally believe that it's Jason Garrett. I think he would have made sense to be the head coach in Washington, because they're sort of, way more in need of that than the Giants are. But I think for a young and impressionable nucleus of players that the Giants have, I think that Jason Garrett is kind of exactly what they need, assuming Joe Judge, is a fine and capable head coach in his own right, to your point.
Interesting, RJ. excuse me, still getting over a little cough here, but I look at Jason Garrett, and another thing that I wrote at Big Blue View today is when we talk about the things that he can bring to New York, I look at the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job, and the way that I put it is, for me, it might be the most difficult job in the NFL, simply because of the owner that you have and his heavy involvement, his high profile, his incredibly high expectations, not to mention the national profile of the franchise, the media and fan base expectations. And I look at that, if you're bringing him in to help a rookie head coach to navigate sort of the waters of New York, New Jersey, of this market and of what it is to be a head coach, I don't know if you could have brought in a guy that had better preparation for that kind of a role.
I absolutely agree with that. It is not easy to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and I do think that job has become easier over the last decade. And I think, it's certainly worth mentioning that, Twitter and Instagram and, the social world as we know it, heck, even SB Nation was not the same place in 2011 when Jason Garrett took over as it is today, here in 2020. A lot of the world and the way information is consumed has changed very, very quickly in the time that Jason Garrett held that job. And so, I think that Jason Garrett, over time wore down Jerry Jones. And that's a really bad way to put it. But I mean, to the point that he had significant say in things, everybody thinks that job is just a puppet's job and whatever. And look, again, it is very difficult, but I do think that Jason Garrett trailblazed in a lot of ways for the men that would follow him, or women that would follow him, whatever, that would ultimately coach for the Dallas Cowboys, because, he found, I think he was close enough to Jerry Jones to be able to do things, to be able to push and to be able to prod and get a say and whatever. And I think, one of the biggest examples is one of the biggest moments in franchise history. I mean, Jason Garrett was critical, and I know this is a place the Giants are at, although maybe not as awkwardly, in the transition from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott. That feels like so long ago, but Jason Garrett oversaw that and helped the team win 13 games in the process.
RJ, I want to take a quick break here for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. Then I want to come back and talk a little bit about what Jason Garrett can do for Daniel Jones, what kind of offense we might see, schematically, and a little bit about your Dallas Cowboys and Mike McCarthy.
That sounds good.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine back here on the Valentine's Views podcast, and we're talking with RJ Ochoa of SB Nation's Blogging the Boys about the Giants' decision to bring former Dallas coach Jason Garrett on as offensive coordinator. RJ, obviously for the Giants, the big thing at this point for them really is the development of Daniel Jones, second-year quarterback. And it's kind of interesting because the Giants said, you know, that Jones developed nicely as a rookie, that he had a good rookie year. And yet when you look at it, he will enter 2020 with an entirely new coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball, new head coach, new coordinator, new quarterbacks coach. Just your thoughts quickly on what Jason Garrett can bring for Daniel Jones.
Well, I think that Jason Garrett has an absolute strength at working with young quarterbacks specifically. You know, Tony Romo emerged in 2006, coincidentally, against the Giants and, you know, took the Cowboys, helped get the Cowboys to the playoffs that season in the wild card round, the bobble game that everybody remembers. But 2007 was Tony Romo's first full season as a starter. And or I should mention Jason Garrett's first, you know, year working with him. That was the year he joined the Cowboys staff. And, I mean, the 2007 Cowboys, which I know is a great subject for any Giants fan, you know, set all sorts of franchise offensive records. That was, you know, one of the most prolific offenses that the Dallas Cowboys organization has ever had. And that was when, you know, a young Jason Garrett was regarded, you know, people forget, but, you know, the way that Sean McVay kind of has been, the way that Kellen Moore has been, and, you know, Dak Prescott's first year under Jason Garrett, 2016, while individually he didn't necessarily, you know, set any, you know, incredible records or anything, he did, you know, get things done in a different way. You know, he wasn't airing the ball out, you know, in high volumes, but I mean, he was an offensive weapon in a way that Dak Prescott is. And that was something that Jason Garrett oversaw. And so I think that he has, you know, an incredible ability to work with young quarterbacks. And, I think it's worth saying that people have noted that Jason Garrett's biggest flaws generally have been game day execution in terms of being a head coach. And so I think when those responsibilities are stripped away, when all he has to worry about is his department, where in this case it is the quarterback, I think that I would expect a lot of results. I mean, I really would. And I honestly believe that Daniel Jones is perhaps the most Jason Garrett quarterback that there is. So I do think that's going to be a very interesting pairing.
So you have to tell us a little bit more about why you say that Jones is a Jason Garrett type quarterback.
Well, first of all, I think in personality and in disposition, you know, I mentioned that Jason Garrett is very robotic, and you know, to your point, dealt with at least a lot of criticism as the Dallas Cowboys head coach. And I think that being the quarterback of the New York Giants is a similar job. And I think that Daniel Jones kind of has that same sort of personality, kind of just shows up, does his thing, and, you know, is seemingly unfazed by, you know, anything. I mean, Daniel Jones dealt with more flack than any rookie quarterback in recent memory. And so I think that they mesh well in that regard. But I also think that, you know, I think that Jason Garrett did a great job coaching Dak Prescott, but I do think that he is more comfortable just because, you know, he's an older principle-based sort of coach. I think he's more comfortable with more classic pocket quarterbacks. And I know Daniel Jones certainly has an ability to move around, but I think his traits and his history and his football life really, you know, vibe with Jason Garrett. I mean, you know, obviously Daniel Jones, evolved under David Cutcliffe, and that's like a Jason Garrett thing. I mean, I don't know, you know, another way to put it. It's just kind of, you know, you ever cooking, you know what I mean? And you're like, you know, I think some paprika would go good here. That's kind of how it feels. You know, it just feels like something that would go great together. So it'll be interesting to watch.
So let's talk a little bit about Jason Garrett, you know, offensive play caller, offensive, you know, scheme designer, his system, quote unquote, and he hasn't been a play caller, I think, since 2012, at least full time, is considered Air Coryell. It's considered more vertical than the sort of more horizontal, more quick throw based stuff that we've seen from the Giants under both Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur. Just tell us a little bit, you know, about what we might expect, you know, from a Jason Garrett offense.
I think that's well put. The Air Coryell offense is without question a huge inspiration for how he sees his football world. And, I don't know that until recently, when the Cowboys acquired Amari Cooper and drafted Michael Gallup, I don't know that Jason Garrett ever had the proper toys. I mean, I think he always had quarterbacks that were capable of getting it done. But, you know, Jason Witten's capable of running vertically, not incredibly far. But other than that, I mean, you know, the Cowboys dealt with, you know, they had T.O., you know, early on in Jason Garrett's offensive career with them. And, you know, kind of a bigger bodied receiver and a guy who can win across the middle. And then they had Dez Bryant, who, you know, patented kind of the back shoulder throw with Tony Romo. And that was the most vertical, I think, you know, that Dez ever got. He wasn't this advanced route runner by any means. And so I certainly think that Sterling Shepard and you know, Darius Slayton was fascinating to watch. And Evan Engram are tools and toys that Jason Garrett can use in those capacities. And I think more than anything, though, I think you should expect balance. And I think that Jason Garrett is, you know, very excited, obviously, to go from Zeke Elliott to Saquon Barkley. I think many would say that's an upgrade. However, I don't know that the Giants offensive line is ready to be what Jason Garrett needs. I mean, you know, obviously the Cowboys have had one of the better offensive lines in the NFL over the last half decade. And I mean, that is an essential tool. I mean, that really is an essential piece to what Jason, I mean, you know, it's an essential piece to what anybody wants to do. But I mean, he truly wants to be as balanced as possible in attack, in style. And so as vertical as he gets, he also wants to run the ball in a way. I mean, he appreciates history. And I think that bleeds over into how he, you know, wants to literally play the game. And so I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, totally going to run the ball, but I mean, he's not going to be this air it out all the time guy. So I think that there will be a lot of a yin and yang.
That is actually one of the things that Joe Judge has talked about. One of the things that I've always admired about the New England Patriots is the idea that they aren't married to one way of doing things, to basically bringing the same game plan, the same scheme, the same, you know, the same plan of attack week in and week out, that things change. And Judge has talked about that a lot, whether it's, you know, whether we have to run the ball a lot one week, whether we have to throw it another week. And I think that's, you know, that's something it sounds like Jason Garrett as a play caller, you know, might be flexible enough to do that.
Yeah, and I think he's evolved, you know, over time. I think he's become flexible, and I think he's learned. I think he's grown and adapted like everybody does in life. And so I think that there are core principles to his offensive philosophy, but I do think that he's capable of adjusting to different times. I tell you what, I mean, I am very excited personally to see what he does with Evan Engram. And I have some Evan Engram shares in some Dynasty League, so it might be a little bit too personally invested. But, I mean, it's been a long time since Jason Garrett had a dynamic, you know, kind of playmaking tight end. I mean, no disrespect to Jason Witten, but I think that singular piece can be quite valuable for him.
It's interesting because I have said for years when the Giants drafted Evan Engram, it was back in the Ben McAdoo era as head coach. And McAdoo, at the press conference when they drafted Evan Engram, he said, you know, he said the shortest distance to the end zone is straight up the middle of the field. You know, meaning, you know, run the seam route, get the tight end right up the middle of the field. And weirdly, McAdoo never used Engram that way. Neither did Pat Shurmur. As you take one of the speediest tight ends in football when he's healthy, one of the biggest matchup nightmares in the league from the tight end position, and run him horizontally. And I never understood that. It sounds like you think that Garrett might look at Engram and try to get him up the field a little bit more often.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, Jason Garrett, you know, to have Evan Engram is one thing, but to have him with, you know, I mean, I think the Giants are in an interesting place overall with Daniel Jones. I mean, you know, and again, I mean, you know, I have a great respect for Eli Manning, but to have a quarterback who's capable of executing play action and being athletic and moving and adjusting and adapting, I think it could be really fun. I think Daniel Jones and Evan Engram in general could be fun in 2020, but I think Jason Garrett might be the guy that's capable of kind of leaning into that.
Interesting, interesting. Well, we will see how all of that plays out. I know everybody's, a lot of Giants fans are sort of, They're leery of Jason Garrett, and I think part of that is simply because they've been rooting against Jason Garrett and the Dallas sure. Cowboys for 13 years now. And you know, we've snickered at some of the decisions that he's made and all of that. So, but as I tell people, they just have to let that go and see how this plays out.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that, you know, Jason Garrett has a very checkered past against this franchise as a coach. And I mean, it's interesting, you know, to look at Mike McCarthy being the Cowboys head coach now, because, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, Mike McCarthy kind of helped get himself to this point outside of his dissolution from the Packers. I mean, it was Mike McCarthy's Packers that, you know, dealt the final loss to Wade Phillips, you know, as the Cowboys head coach. It was after losing 45-7 to them that the Cowboys fired Wade and promoted Garrett. And then he ultimately got the job. And then Jason Garrett's first win actually came on the road in his new home, although I think that was the old Meadowlands. And then, Mike McCarthy's Packers beat the Cowboys twice in the playoffs and challenged the Dez catch, as you know and remember. So I think they're mystically aligned in that way. But I also think Jason Garrett's been mystically aligned to the Giants. I mean, obviously, I mentioned 2007, one of the Cowboys' worst losses in recent memory was against the Giants. And then, you know, 4 years later, we've talked about this, you and I, the loss at home at AT&T Stadium, the Jason Pierre-Paul blocked field goal. And then a few weeks later on the road on, I think that was New Year's Day. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett has I think a lot of, kind of like Mike McCarthy, I think the Giants have helped get Jason Garrett to themselves by beating him so often. And it's always interesting when people stay in house like they're in division. I'm excited or interested to see what potential assistance Jason Garrett could take with him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And I suppose since you mentioned it, the one that I think you and I talked about a little bit offline recently. Let me ask you about Mark Colombo, offensive line coach, because that's a position that's a real key for the Giants at this point, one they haven't filled yet. Let me ask you about Bill Callahan as well, since that's the other name that keeps coming up. The question with Callahan that I have is, you know, what is your thought really on the relationship between Garrett and Callahan? Because there's been some questions about that. And also, as I said, your thoughts on Mark Colombo if he actually emerges as a candidate.
Well, Mark Colombo played for the Cowboys, for anybody that's unaware, and kind of grew up in that organization and, joined the offensive staff, you know, on a lower level and then as an assistant. And then in 2018, when the Cowboys reached their bye week, the week they traded for Amari Cooper, they also fired Paul Alexander and promoted Mark Colombo and instantly, you know, experienced a lot more success along the offensive line. And many people attributed this to, he was so little removed from having played himself. The players really liked Mark Colombo and he just kind of did things their way. I don't mean that he was a pushover. He just identified more with them and was able to kind of, speak the same language, you know, operate the same way, you know, march to the same beat. And so, that's been something, you know, that the Cowboys fans, I think, have been, you know, really, not bothered, but, you know, really a little bit bummed to see Mike McCarthy not retain Mark Colombo. So I think that is a great way to start improving your offensive line if you're the Giants, to go out and get Mark Colombo. But on the subject of that, it was Bill Callahan who kind of helped put together the final pieces for the Cowboys to build their offensive line as we currently know it. He was the team's, you know, offensive line coach and offensive coordinator in 2014, was his final season with the team. And that was Zach Martin's rookie year. And obviously the year the Cowboys won the division and beat the Lions in the playoffs. And, you know, that season, the play calling kind of transitioned from Bill Callahan to what was then the Cowboys passing game coordinator, Scott Linehan. You have to go way back to when Cowboys fans were wanting Scott Linehan to have control. And I think that transition, you know, just kind of going from Bill Callahan to Scott Linehan in the middle of the season, you know, made for some awkwardness. And that's why I think it's interesting to see that he would want to be on a staff that featured Jason Garrett, let alone featured Garrett in a role as his superior, but apparently that seems possible. And again, both those gentlemen served as huge members of the Cowboys staff in orchestrating and putting together the offensive line as Cowboys fans currently know it. So I think, you know, netting either one would be a huge boost for the likes of Will Hernandez and whoever's able to join him.
All right, RJ, last question for you. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about your Cowboys and your new head coach. You mentioned Mike McCarthy. Just your thoughts on McCarthy, you know, as he takes the reins in Dallas. Were you surprised by that hire? You like that hire? You hate that hire? Just, you know, what are your feelings on that at this point?
You know, it was, I think the only thing that kind of caught people by surprise was how quickly it all materialized. It was when the Eagles lost, which I think we can both appreciate, during that game that word finally officially broke that the Cowboys would not be retaining Jason Garrett. And, you know, 15 hours later, you know, reports swirling that they were set to hire Mike McCarthy. And so, you know, I think everybody was just confused. I mean, you know, Jason Garrett, as I mentioned, was promoted from interim head coach to full time in 2010. So the last, you know, and that was really obvious. Everybody knew that he was going to get that job. But so the last true time the Cowboys conducted a coaching search was in 2007 when Bill Parcells retired and they ultimately hired Wade Phillips. And so I think everybody was just kind of the mindset, you know, this is the first time you're doing this in over a decade and you're not going to take your time. But the Cowboys really fell in love with Mike McCarthy. And I think there's a lot to like, you know, his PR tour he went on, I think, really helped. And he said the word analytics a few times, which perks in people's ears. And I think that, you know, Mike McCarthy's who the Cowboys need. I think we would both agree that as a head coach, he's, you know, at the very least, some improvement over Jason Garrett. I mean, the guy's got a Super Bowl. And I mean, you know, Cowboys fans don't like to hear this, but the reality is Jason Garrett was almost enough. You know, he really was. I mean, three different times he was almost enough to get them to the NFC Championship game, which is the weekend that we're speaking. And so theoretically, if he was almost enough and you go get somebody who was at worst marginally better, I mean, that should be enough. I think that the Cowboys have a very talented roster and they need, they need somebody who's been there, who's done that to kind of bring them together and get them over the hump. And I do think Mike McCarthy could be that guy. And I think this was an interesting coaching cycle and you have a new head coach as well, obviously. But I think the Giants were in a different place than the Cowboys, which is why Joe Judge made sense for them. And I think the Cowboys, they're on the third leg of the relay race. So they need a fourth guy to hand the baton off to, as opposed to somebody to kind of start it off for them.
That's an interesting way to put it, RJ. Well, we will see how it all works out. Obviously, there's a new coach in Washington as well. So the NFC East should be an interesting place as always in 2020. And you and I, I'm sure, will talk again. So thank you very much for joining me today.
Of course, happy new year in 2020 to all of your listeners. I hope you all experience health and success. But I hope that your draft class just aren't great football players. That's, you know, that's all we really want for you guys.
Oh, had to go there, didn't you, RJ?
You know, all right. I love you all.
All right. Thank you for listening, Giants fans, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.